This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan. Hour 3 of 4, just getting started. To our audience who just picked us up in Richmond, much appreciate you guys hanging with us today. A note wanted to throw out there, Danny. 32 catches so far this season for DeAndre Hopkins of the Cardinals. They traded for him, and they are using him. 3 games, 32 catches. If he were to keep this pace up all season long, he would catch 149 balls. That would be a record. Michael Thomas last year had the single season record of 149, and he would break that record. 25 catches is what Thomas had on his way to a 149 last year.
Wow.
So he's seven ahead of that pace at this point. They're just using the heck out of him, man. You saw it when they played Washington.
Yeah, that'll happen when, I think, what did he have, 14 receptions, 15 receptions in the first game? They made sure they used their new toy big time.
Week one, 17 targets, 14 catches. Then I think he had 7 against Washington.
What happened?
So that means he was double digits again this past week. But DeAndre Hopkins, an absolute machine, not slowing down. Let's get to your Beltway Blitz. We'll stay on the gridiron. Teams in town you care the most about will start with the WFTers and Rick Snyder, our buddy, the FanDC.com columnist. Rick, why don't we start with the big story in town, and that's the quarterback position. Where are you at on Dwayne Haskins right now?
Well, I think Dwayne's the rope's getting a little shorter, but it's not a choke collar yet. So you keep throwing 3 picks a game, it won't take long. But I think what's happening is Redskins realize, you know what, can win the division. So maybe you don't want to throw away the season teaching a new quarterback everything. So he's got to get better soon, or they may decide that they want to go to Kyle Allen. But I think it's his job to lose.
What would he have to do to lose it, Rick, in your mind? I know you said it's not a choke collar yet. It's not that short. And it's not as if Brett Favre's waiting to back him up. It's still Kyle Allen at the end of the day. What has to happen? Is it a couple more games like we saw Sunday? Is it lack of progress? Just kind of give me your general feel.
A little both of that. I mean, he's got to make better decisions. That's the key for Rivera. You know, he'll take a mistake now and then. But, you know, 2 of his interceptions, he threw to the wrong side of the guy. Those kind of things. You got to make your quicker decisions. You've got to be able to, you know, look at the whole field more. He's staring at people too much. These are kind of rookie mistakes that you should be past. So Rivera wants to see progress. Even if they don't win, he wants to see better games out of the guy. And, you know, if you keep turning the ball over, I mean, by November, somebody else is playing.
In what ways do you expect the losses of Ioannidis for the year, Young, it sounds like, for a couple of weeks, to most hinder this team?
Yeah, definitely. Your depth has suddenly vanished on them, that's for sure. You know, Ioannidis just quietly has been a really good lineman. So that's going to hurt him some. And Chase, of course, was your premier player. And groin injuries, they'll linger the whole season. They'll learn to play with it, but it's going to bother them. So, you know, they take a notch off, and they can't afford that because this whole team is built around a defensive line. Now 2 pieces aren't there. Not going to be an easy path.
Rick, assess the secondary. Kendall Fuller, the big sort of free agent acquisition, I thought he was fine in his first game back, but what have we seen so far for 3 weeks from this secondary, a group that I was worried about, frankly?
Well, they got exposed sometimes, that's for sure. I mean, Apke had a great camp because I think he came in there saying, who do I have to kill? against what we see now is a weaker offense. You didn't get to see him against other people. That's where the fool's gold kind of comes in. So after, you know, they're going to replace him after this year, I would expect, on there. And I thought Fuller did okay. And, I mean, you know, Collins has been playing better than, you know, most. He's more positive than negative. I'll say that. So there's a lot to do. If you don't have that pass rush up on there, good quarterback's going to carve you up. This week they face a guy with a little more mobility. I mean, I thought Baltimore was a good team, and Kansas City just took them out. But that Baltimore team is going to be a good one again this week. And they're going to have some of the same problems they had against Arizona.
Going into this matchup with the Ravens, they're double-digit point dogs. It seems like everyone is just kind of writing this game off. I mean, you've been around football long enough to know that weird things can happen. What chance do you give them?
Little. Weird things don't happen against the Ravens when they play them. Happens against Philly, that's a real weird one. Arizona, typically the weird, some weird games. Baltimore just beats them, you know. It's never been one of them weird series. There is no rivalry of sorts. Baltimore's just usually been the better team. So I don't give them much of a chance in this one. And the schedule just gets tough. But after they get a couple games coming up, they can win. They could still be something like maybe 3-3 or 3-4. So it's, you know, the next few weeks will tell. But this is one of the tougher teams they'll play.
Who do you want to see more from on this roster? Just people that have you a little bit intrigued, Rick.
McKissick always seems to do well, you know, whenever he touches the ball. You know, Bryce Love, we always talked about. Haven't seen him yet on there. Isaiah Wright, I thought, really had a nice game last week. So that's somebody to watch, too. And I guess, you know, I want to see what Kerrigan still has left. You know, I just don't seem to see anything from him at this point. He had a good first game when everybody did. I haven't seen a whole lot, so I really want to watch him a little more.
Rick, I'm going to pivot here for a second. Horse racing on the Beltway Blitz and ask you about the Preakness. What do we need to know? This is the local leg, so to speak, of the Triple Crown. Everything's all out of whack and out of order. What do we need to know to watch this sucker and enjoy it?
Good betting race. I mean, I think there's two horses that are really clearly it. The Derby winner, Authentic, is really good. But there's about four or five horses that could win this race. I expect a lot of speed up front. Could be a fast one. Maybe the best overall field since 97 in Silver Charm won a three-way finish. I like it a lot. Now, you know, nobody's going to get to see it except on TV. You can watch the whole thing during a commercial break from a football game. So don't tell me you can't watch. But Authentic, clearly, I think, is the best horse.
You always learn something on the Beltway Blitz. I learned that the Preakness was this weekend. Thank you, Rick. Always appreciate it, buddy.
I got you.
We'll see you, man. Let's talk. We'll call it basketball / the Wizards. Our buddy Nick Ashew, who's so incredibly handsome, I miss his face and scent and hair each and every single day. Before we get to the Wizards, NBA Finals matchup set. How can Miami do this the way they've done it all playoff long?
Defensively is going to be the big deal for them. I mean, they're going to have to be the strong defensive team that got them here. I mean, zone defense is a big thing for Miami, but you watch Boston start to break it down as that series went on, even though Miami obviously won. If you're the Heat, you just, like, you have to almost play perfect basketball because you're not as talented as the Lakers, but what got you here, what got you to the finals is team basketball and chemistry and a toughness mentally and physically and the ability to just not back down from any team. And we saw all these comebacks that they had against Boston, but that also can wear you down. Like, they can't allow themselves to get down big against the Lakers because it's going to be a whole lot harder for them.
So LeBron's looking for ring number 4 in finals number 10. I think I have those numbers right. If he is able to will the Lakers to a win here and they do what they should do, frankly, and beat Miami, and he gets his 4th, what does that mean as opposed to if, as the favorite, somehow Miami upends them and he's now 3-7 in these series?
For LeBron to win a title with 3 different teams is incredibly historic, and that's going to be one of the big things. It's part of his legacy that's told once he retires. Like, the big thing I've always said about LeBron James, and, you know, we want to have this endless battle about Jordan versus LeBron, and, like, Jordan's story is done, and we're basking in the nostalgia of Michael Jordan and remembering only the good times while we live in the moment with every single thing LeBron James does. He'll truly be appreciated once he retires, and people forget one random game where he didn't shoot well in the middle of the playoffs in 2009 or something like that. Like, once we get to that point is when we'll really be able to look back and look at every single thing that LeBron James accomplished. But to win titles with three different teams as, by the way, the best player, not on just those teams, but in the league, that is an incredible accomplishment for him if he can pull it off.
So for Miami, Eric Spoelstra knows LeBron James incredibly well, and I think he's now bona fide one of the best coaches in all of sports, let alone just the NBA. How do you attack the Lakers, rather, if you're Miami? I mean, the thing I said earlier, Nick, was that if you let LeBron James be LeBron, which is rebounder, creator, finisher, assist man, etc., you're done. If you just make him a shooter, I think you got a chance in some games. What are your thoughts there, and kind of what would your recipe be?
You do, and you also have to keep in mind that pick and roll of LeBron James to Anthony Davis is devastating. But Miami has guys that they have the ability to switch off with, right? Like, you have Bam on Anthony Davis, and then you have the ability to have, Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder kind of be in that mix as well to switch off and defend Anthony Davis when they're originally on LeBron. Like, that whole concept there, that helps, because that's a big part of what the Lakers do, is that pick and roll, and you let Anthony Davis run the backdoor cuts. All of those things are a big part of what the Lakers do. But I'll tell you this. If Miami can shoot the ball really well, and, I mean, if Tyler Herro can do what he did in the conference finals again, that's going to be really difficult for the Lakers to have to defend, because we know this. When teams sort of get in these zones where they can just shoot and there's nothing you can do about it, where they're hitting 25, 26, 27-foot shots, there's almost nothing you can do defensively as a team. So for Miami, you really got to be able to shoot the ball well in this series, too. It's helped them before, and it's got to help them again in these finals.
Nick, Washington football team, 1-2, potentially winning the division at 6-10, it looks like. I mean, what do you make of the NFC East? I think Dallas is going to pull away, but gosh, does it stink right now.
It's embarrassing watching it. I mean, it really is. But, like, to have this conversation and hear Ron Rivera say things like, I mean, we're still thinking about we'll give Dwayne Haskins a chance, but I've got my limits, and you're thinking maybe they still try to push for the play. Like, to me, this should just be a 16-game preseason. Honestly, just evaluate Dwayne Haskins. I don't really care about them winning seven games and winning the division. Like, that really doesn't matter to me. I want to see them really give Dwayne Haskins an opportunity to either succeed or fail and then move on from that, so we don't play this game for another 2 years. But, God, this division stinks right now.
Hey, Nick, real quick. Bradley Beal owns a place in L.A. now, doesn't he? Let's play the what does it mean game.
Don't do this. Don't play this game. No.
I'm literally asking you what it means. I'm asking you what it means. You can say nothing.
Okay.
You can say nothing.
Because everybody does is they act like NBA players don't have more than one home. Guess what? Everybody has a house in L.A. Every NBA player has a place in L.A. It means nothing. It doesn't mean that the Lakers are going to get him or try to trade for him or anything. It means he wants to go out to the West Coast because L.A. is beautiful and the beaches are nice, and I would do the same damn thing if I was him.
Yeah, but before you went to 980 that one time, you bought a house right in Silver Spring or Bethesda, wherever their studios are.
No, I didn't. I never had one there.
I just made a bad joke. It's fine.
Okay, Nick, I was like, I don't think so.
Nothing about what I said was true. I think you were.
He bought a condo on Half Street.
Yeah, you don't forget.
I was like, wait. I was like, does he really think I lived there? It's all right. No. He's never lived there.
Stay good looking. Thank you.
You're so handsome.
All right, see you guys.
That is Nick Ashew. Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've been talking Dwayne Haskins with a couple of our guests, Sam Monson and Michael Lombardi. What we haven't gotten to yet is yesterday's comment from Rivera saying at some point, if it stays as bad as it was this past week, or if Haskins doesn't improve over these 3 weeks, there would be a time where he's got to pull the plug. When would that be? What would that look like? We'll discuss. G&D on The Fan on this Wednesday. Week 4 kicks off tomorrow in the NFL. NBA Finals start tonight, and the first of 8 Major League Baseball playoff games is underway in Atlanta right now. Quite a day in sports. I wonder if I'm alone in this, Danny. When I was watching Washington and Cleveland, I was thrown off and kind of annoyed by the camera angle being slightly askew most of the day. It was like a little bit farther down the line than it normally is from the line of scrimmage, a little bit higher. With hockey, this is the same thing. Some arenas have different places where they put the cameras. Like right. Watching baseball, shadows in the field annoy me a lot in day games where I see the shadows and some of it's darker than others. Like the visuals of the games always actually annoys me or bothers me. Do you feel that at all when
yes.
you're watching games?
Yes. I like everything to be the same. I'm a creature of comfort, like every other person that likes to settle down on a comfortable couch in the warm glow of the picture tube. I like it. I like everything to be the same. I don't like it. Happens in college basketball a lot, where there's certain arenas that just are built differently, and the camera's almost straight down. I want to say Oklahoma State. I always watch that Bedlam series whenever they play Oklahoma, and it's always wild. But the camera angle's different, and you notice it right away, and it throws you off. You know what I mean? So I'm all for innovation, but at the same time, I'm not for innovation in certain circumstances, and that's one. I like what I like. I grew up liking it the exact same way each and every time. There's no need to change this delicious dish. It made you billionaires. Please don't screw with it. But yeah, so I do notice those sorts of things.
I always wonder, and I think maybe if there's a threshold you meet where you watch enough games, those types of things resonate with you. But is the average person sitting at home going, gosh, this angle is killing me? Like, I got used to it because I don't remember in the second half being thrown off. But watching the Browns and the Washington football team this weekend, the camera, which is normally straight down the line, felt like it was 5 or 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage and higher up. And I'm sitting here thinking about it enough to, like, workshop theories. I'm like, well, is this because Abraham ran into the camera on the sideline of the Raiders game on Monday Night Football, so now everyone in the NFL is going to be doing this all weekend? And it was probably nothing, but I don't know. Just watching games, stuff like that annoys me, but that's kind of the nerdy stuff that I don't know if anybody cares about. People do care about the performance of Dwayne Haskins. We talked to Sam Monson earlier in the show. He's the lead analyst covering the NFL for Pro Football Focus about Haskins. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. I think the circumstance around him is dictating this a lot. But the problem is the quarterback is the most important position in football. It's the guy that gets all the credit when things are going right, and it's the guy that gets all the blame when things are going wrong. And ultimately, when things go in the tank and things unravel and you end up with one of those top five draft picks, the problem with that is you get another shot at a quarterback, and almost no quarterback can succeed in a really bad situation, but the transcendent ones that everybody is looking for can. So every time the things fall to pieces and you end up with a shot at one of the top quarterbacks, you have to basically ask yourself the question of, is this guy a transcendent quarterback that can paper over all of these cracks in one fell swoop? And that's kind of what happened with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray and the Josh Rosen situation. Josh Rosen had no shot in Arizona. Like, he didn't have a prayer of succeeding given what was around him. And it gave Arizona this fantastic opportunity to take a shot at Kyler Murray. And they basically made the call that, look, it's not fair on Josh Rosen at all. On the other hand, we think Kyler Murray is a transcendent talent that can offset all of the bad things that are happening in this offense immediately. And I think they're right. They had to make that call. They made the right one. And Kyler Murray does look talented enough that he's able to turn it all around almost by himself. So Washington may end up in exactly the same situation where you end up having to basically write off Haskins, not necessarily because he can't succeed, but because you might get a shot at a Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or someone that you do think can immediately change everything, even though the situation around them remains bad.
There's enough runway here, I think, for Haskins, Danny, that obviously he can change the perception, the narrative, and at the end of this year they could feel like this is a guy worth investing in. But we're at a point, I think, just based on what's happened so far, that it is hard to fathom that if they have a shot at Trevor Lawrence, they would pass on Trevor Lawrence. And as Michael Lombardi was putting it, nobody should pass on Trevor Lawrence. If the Giants, right, who like Daniel Jones fine at this point, have a chance to draft him, they will. If the Jets, who like Jets. Sam Darnold, have a chance to draft him, they will. And it's going to be Rosen, Kyler Murray in a way, if Haskins is moved on from. But it's very unlikely that they can get Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's going first overall. Do we really think Washington's going to pick first overall? They haven't picked first overall in my lifetime. It's probably not happening this year with this defense, with this defensive front, with the players that they've got on that side of the ball. I mean, they could easily be 2-1 right now if not for the debacle at quarterback this past weekend. So you're not drafting Trevor Lawrence. I guess the question then becomes the other guys. And my question to you, though, is this about Haskins, or is this about how much you like those other quarterbacks at the end of the year? Like, Lawrence will separate in his own category. Again, unlikely that he's an option. But what if they do really like Justin Fields, another guy from Ohio State? Should how they feel about Haskins matter more than what they think about those other quarterbacks?
That's a great way to put it. I think this organization has, you know, you're always influenced by what happens to the teams that, that you follow the most closely, right? In terms of your team formulation philosophies, your team building philosophies, et cetera. And my biggest gripe with Washington over the years has been their complete and utter inability under Vinny Serrato, under Bruce Allen, and really by and large Dan Snyder, their complete inability to properly self-evaluate. The most important thing that you have to do is a binary. Dwayne Haskins, yes, or Dwayne Haskins, no. So to me, that's more important than whoever the hell else is out there. If the answer is no, which is a reasonable thing that could absolutely happen at the end of this year, by the way, with professionals making their evaluations, then we figure out if it's Fields, if it's somebody else that we haven't even thought of yet, or you know somebody emerges, and if you got a shot at Trevor Lawrence, so be it. But if the answer is yes, then I don't care who's out there. Right? Like, if you think you've got the guy, then you have the guy. And then you don't have to worry about anything else. You let everybody else offer you trade compensation to move up to get one of those quarterbacks. So to me, I know it's a little bit chicken or the egg, but the most important thing to me are what the football professionals, that's Ron Rivera, that's Kyle Smith, basically, what do they think of Dwayne Haskins? That's what matters to me before we do anything else. Does that answer the question, or is that sidestepping a bit?
Yeah, I think so, because if they like Haskins, and it doesn't matter, you know, about those other quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I guess my point is, if they like Haskins, but you've got a shot at someone that you think is better, should they take that guy? It goes back to what we were talking about in a hypothetical with Tua at number two, where ultimately the decision was Chase Young, and I think it looks correct that they did that. But at that time, Haskins had gotten no chance. By the end of this year, hopefully he'll play enough that he's gotten a decently fair shot, as much of a fair shot as young guys get anymore. But if you would have drafted Tua at number two, it would have been a complete raw deal for Haskins. He would have been completely unfairly cast aside. But is the point just that you get the best quarterback you can whenever you can? Because if Haskins at the end of this year is trending up and they feel like, well, maybe he can become, you know, a top 20 quarterback. Maybe he can become, you know, a middle of the pack quarterback in the NFL, but they evaluate Fields as someone who's really, really good. Should that matter more? Something that we can chew on as we go forward here this year and as we watch each of these performances from the second-year Ohio State flamethrower in Dwayne Haskins, who's got that cannon of an arm that he's trying to harness and turn into being a more consistent NFL passer. But what we should get to next is the Ron Rivera comments yesterday, where he said there is a time where he would have to make a quarterback change. How long should the leash be? That's the question. I think you and I are both on record as saying that our leashes are longer than a lot of people's.
Absolutely. Like,
the runway we're providing for Haskins this year is the runway from Fast and the Furious 6, when Vin Diesel is just fighting a guy on a plane that's about to take off while running down the runway for like 12 minutes of the movie. He's going to be on the field until the season ends pretty much for the two of us. But most people don't feel that way. So the question we're posing on the AAA Always On Call listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067 is this, 800-636-1067. Ron Rivera is not going to answer what would have to happen to get to the point that you've said exists where you bench Haskins. But what do you think that looks like? How long is the leash? Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've opened up the AAA Always On Call listener lines. We want to hear from you guys at 800-636-1067. We've been doing a lot of yapping. That's what we get paid to do. It's our job, after all. We won't apologize for that. Plumbers shouldn't apologize for fixing piping issues, should they? But because we've been chit-chatting so much, we haven't taken a bunch of calls yet, so let's do it right now. 800-636-1067. The leash for Dwayne Haskins, how long is it? Ron Rivera changing his tune yesterday, coming out and saying there's absolutely a line of delineation here, a point of demarcation where if things don't improve, he would bench him. How far off are we? Let's be succinct and then get to the calls. Danny, how far from that are we? How far from that should we be? Might be two different answers.
How far from that are we is a couple weeks, 3 weeks maybe, 2-3 weeks. I think you could see this very soon. How far should we be? In my opinion, 16 games. Full slate for a team that wasn't going anywhere. Regardless of what's going on around you, worry about your own house first before you start comparing yourselves to other yards. This is not a good team. They're not ready. I would treat them as such.
Yeah. So just to, I guess, go a little bit different and not be a echo. I won't say 16 games, but I'll say we should be most of the season away. We should be December away from even having this conversation. I think we're probably a bad month away. Now, the Baltimore game doesn't look like it's going to be that fun. The Ram game is not going to be a win. I can't imagine that Washington is that competitive in that game. But realize that you can still play well as a quarterback in losses, right? I mean, the Ravens are going to beat Washington because they're going to run the ball on them. They're going to have a pretty ball-controlled offense typically. The Rams are going to hang a bunch of points. There's going to be garbage time. There's going to be chances for you in the second half down 13, 17 points to put up numbers. I would love to see once, 285 yards and a couple touchdowns, even if it's garbage time. What's going to be interesting, though, is when you get into those two games against the Giants and that game against the Lions. And I think that's, being fair to Haskins, where you've got to see growth. He played the Lions last year. Rivera references that as a game where he was impressed by his psyche. He'll get another chance to, hopefully, on November 15th. The two games against the Giants, who are another team in the running for the first overall pick. He's going to take his lumps against the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Rams. Those teams are better. You should lose those games. The games that are very winnable, you might be a favorite in one or both of those Giants games. You might be a favorite in that Lions game. Who knows? Those games, if he struggles, I think could result in him losing his gig. Let's go to the phones. Anthony is in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Anthony, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
I'm good. How you guys doing? I love you guys' show. Watch it. I mean, I listen to it while I'm at work all the time.
Appreciate very you, nice. Buddy. Thank you, Anthony.
Yes, sir. I think he should get 16 games. It's only been three games into a new system, and he's still basically a rookie. So 16 games just to see where he's at. And after that, then you make your assessment. It's like people want him to be Tom Brady already or something. You know, that's what I see. That's what I'm feeling. I don't get it.
Well,
there's going to be some lump.
Don't hang up, because I want to just bring something up, and I want to get your reaction to it. So here would be my response to that. I like the idea of 16 games, and I agree with your point. I don't think anyone wants him to be Tom Brady, and I'll be honest with you. Anyone who's saying that is a fool. Anyone who wants him to be elite with this offense, you know, the offseason he didn't get to have, the second year in the league and the second year in a new offense, and last year the way it went, they're crazy. What I want him to be is – pick the 18th or 20th best quarterback in the league. He is right now one of the two or three worst quarterbacks in the league that has played this year. He ranks below 32nd in a lot of categories because four backups have played. So I'll just speak for reasonable people. He's in the 32 to 36 range. I want him to be in the 24 range. I don't know about these people that want him to be Tom Brady. I want him to be Derek Carr. I want him to be worse than that. I want him to be Gardner Minshew. I want him to be, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that.
But I agree with your point on 16 games. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah, I just feel like it takes some time. Three games into in a new system? Three games. It's not a carryover from last year. It's a new system, and it's only been three games. Give him some time. Give him some time. He didn't actually – for what it's worth, he didn't do that well. Okay, he was the cause for the loss. But he did throw two touchdowns. So the flashes are there. We just got to make it more consistent.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you, buddy.
And the three-game point is correct. But we also have to look, Danny, nowadays, too, at E.J. Manuel was the 16th overall pick. He was picked one pick after Haskins. I think he got 10 starts in 2013 with the Bills. And by the end of September the next year,
everybody knew. Yeah,
he was benched. Okay. Josh Rosen was picked higher than Haskins. I believe he went 10th overall to the Arizona Cardinals. He got 13 games. That was the list, 13 games, and then they went to Kyler Murray. That was a terrible team. Everyone knew it was going to be terrible. Everyone knew he wasn't going to play well in those 13 games, and he didn't, and then he was done. Paxton Lynch, I don't think he's any good. That's not the point. He was drafted in the first round, I think at number 26. I'm pretty sure to this moment today he has – two career NFL starts, maybe another two in 2017, so four total in 4 years or whatever it was in the league.
Yeah, I would have set the over under 3.5, yeah.
But we decided what he was after four games that we saw him. So this idea that, like, and yes, I'm obviously preaching 16 games, so I subscribe to the theory some, but the idea that he needs to have or deserves to have or everyone gets, that's just not true anymore.
Right. So the thing I want to dispel is the reasons for my advocacy for Haskins in terms of giving him time. Fairness has nothing to do with it. I don't care about being fair. I care about winning football games. I care about being great. I want the team to be great. This is what every debate is ultimately about, right? How do you get there? Reasonable minds can disagree. What Washington has done forever is say, well, we're not great yet, but let's try to do the best we can with a maxed out salary cap and a bunch of veterans to see if we can go 7-9 and maybe get a break or two to go 9-7. There's a reason they haven't had a single great season in Dan Snyder's entire ownership. There's a reason there's no 11-win seasons in there. They've never been patient, right? They've never done it. They've never exercised patience. They declare they want to do it. They start down a path, and then the owner or Bruce Allen or somebody does something tyrannical, and we have to start the clock over again. I'm asking for patience because they've never done that before. And that's how I want to try to build this team. I don't care if it's fair. If somehow they end up with the number one overall pick and they end up with Trevor Lawrence, I'm not going to go, darn it, man. Haskins didn't get a fair shake. What a bummer. I don't care about fairness. This is the NFL. This is not kindergarten kumbaya circles. This is the league.
Yeah, what jobs are fair?
Yeah, they get cut because they make too much money. Yes.
And I'm asking rhetorically to people listening, but do you get a fair shake at your office every single day? Did you get the promotion that you deserve? I mean, this is just the real world, and I'm not saying it's fun, but it is what it is. And you got to perform. That's it. There's 32 of these jobs in the world. It's a terrible profession to be in if you're not performing well. Dominic's in Richmond on line 5. Dominic, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you? Thanks for the call.
Hey, how's it going? I appreciate y'all for doing so good and entertaining me when I'm at work. I'm a boring accountant, so thanks for giving me some joy. I got a couple points. I'm going to make it quick. You know, people say how quarterbacks used to get all this time in the NFL, you know, 2 or 3 years sometimes, and now they don't. And it's understandable because it used to, you know, nowadays the quarterbacks are much more prepared coming out of college, and also NFL quarterbacking is so much easier than it used to be. You see so many guys coming in and performing right away, and Dwayne's not even, I mean, close to half of these guys, so that's part of it, so I don't really feel that bad for him as far as the, you know, giving him a lot of time. And then second off, listening to Ron Rivera talk to J.P. Finley when J.P. asked him, is the bye week a good, you know, time to maybe make a change? And Ron said, I don't want to make the change too late, so that tells me he's got a few weeks.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. It's a division.
He did that yesterday. It was on the podcast. But yeah, that tells me that he's got a few weeks to go, as long as Dallas isn't too far ahead by then.
I'll have to check out the Rivera interview. They do one every week on NBC Sports Washington with him. So I'll see that quote. Appreciate the call. 800-636-1067 is the number. But his point, and it kind of echoes what Lombardi told us earlier today, I think is right. Lombardi said quarterbacks are more prepared now. The reason it used to take 2 or 3 years and you had that time was college football and the NFL were very different and the transition was a lot harder. Now, NFL players get what they're NFL teams rather get what they're playing, and those players are coming from college more ready to help. And part of that is that the NFL offenses are a little bit more collegey. They're a little bit more spread and throw you 40 times a game. It's very, very different than it once was. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on Grant and Danny trying to nail down the timeline Rivera is hinting at with Dwayne Haskins. How much wiggle room does he have, and how much should he be afforded? You're listening to The Fan. So kudos to a caller last segment, because I hadn't seen this quote via NBC Sports Washington. But I just dug up the story here. Rivera does his weekly TV interview with them, and he was asked by J.P. Finley, you know, about the timeline in reference to what he told Scott Abraham and the reporters on Zoom this week, that, yeah, there's a threshold. There's a time where I might have to bench him. There's a bridge we'd have to cross. And that was all he would say. He wouldn't really go into it anymore. So J.P. asked what I think is a smart question, which was, look, the bye week is week 8. It splits the season in half. Does he basically have until the bye week, and then you'd have a couple weeks to prepare somebody else? And the answer from Ron Rivera was, quote, to be honest with you, as you look at what's happening in our division, I don't want that to be too late, Rivera said, of possibly making a quarterback switch. So he is acknowledging that he's looking at the rest of the NFC East, which is bad. Washington tied for first with Dallas. Cowboys are 1-2 only because the Falcons did the worst job on an onside kick that any team has ever done ever on special teams. They should easily be 0-3. Rivera, you'll remember, Danny, made the playoffs with the Panthers in 2014, mm-hmm. as JP points out, in the NFC South at 7-8-1. And then they won a wild card playoff game that year when they were a sub 500 playoff team. Now, for me personally, I think that him not burning timeouts because this year is about development and I don't want to get anybody hurt, but then also saying at the same time, I can't wait too long. I've got to bench Dwayne sooner if we have a chance to win the division. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and he needs to pick one. Are you developing mm-hmm. this year, or are you trying to win this year? Because those two things are diametrically opposed, as I've been talking about with Ben Stanig the last couple of days of The Athletic. But having said all that, while I'm against making decisions to try to squeak out a fool's gold 7-9 division championship, it seems like Rivera's acknowledging that how bad the division is factoring into how he's viewing the quarterback room.
And I understand that. I just, again, fundamentally disagree. Now, again, I like Ron Rivera a lot. It's going to sound like I've been beating him up here for the last couple of days. I have not been. I mean, I'm so glad he's here. He's a real adult who's got a philosophy. He doesn't care what idiots like me think, which is to the good, by the way. I want him to make all of the decisions, and I want at the end of the day there to be no doubt as to, well, that pick was his, but this one was Ron's, and this one the owner got. I want none of that. I want Ron Rivera in charge, and I like him a lot. But I fundamentally disagree, and it's to the point that you just made about endgame timeouts, sending the message, etc. If you're worried about losing a couple of guys for a team where you've got, you know, you're trying to figure out who your young core is going to be, then you're not doing a good enough job getting your message across. To me, this year is about figuring out who my future captains are, who my future stalwarts are. And if they can't deal with some adversity where they might not have it great while a quarterback is developing, then you're probably not the sort of winner that I want in my locker room. I'll move on from a couple of veterans necessarily anyway, and there'll be some turnover in this league regardless. I think you can imprint your message by telling people, I want to demonstrate that you fight to the last whistle, and if you don't, you'll be cut. You're out of here. You're gone. You'll be a free agent. We'll get rid of you and still have some patience to allow this thing to grow. It's an interesting philosophy to me where it seems to be a lot of stuff is mixed going, I know we're not any good, but man, the division isn't either. You need to worry about fixing this group before we do anything with regards to trying to take on the Cowboys here because they've had a weird 3 weeks.
All right, kudos to our guys behind the scenes who grabbed this cut and dug it up for us. Appreciate Tommy and Dar working on this. Let's play it. This is from an NBC Sports Washington interview with Ron Rivera when he was asked about maybe making a quarterback change at the bye week, which is about 5 weeks away.
To be honest with you, because as you look at what's happening in our division, I don't want that to be too late either. I mean, we're in first place at 1-2, tied with Dallas. We have one team that's 0-2-1, and we have another team that's 0-3. So we have to look at where we are right now and say, gosh, we might be in position. That's something I have to think about as well. You know, this, it'll play into it, trust me. I went through this in 2014.
Forgive me, if I don't have it in front of me. Is 2014 when you guys won the NFC South at 7-9?
No, at 07 at 7-8-1.
That's an interesting parallel, Coach. There's money on the table. You better take it, right?
Exactly, and that's what I have to be honest about too, JP. I mean, again, I like a lot of things that I've seen, but there are some things that truly concern me, and growth being the biggest one.
It's pretty honest, pretty candid from Ron Rivera, basically saying, yeah, the division is bad. If we can accidentally win this thing, and in the same week I'm telling you this is developmental year, I'm not going to call my timeouts, but I've got to consider that. Maybe that's why his tone changed, honestly. Yeah. He spoke on Sunday, and after that, the Cowboys lost to Seattle, and he realized his team's in first place going into week four. Let's go to Joe in Southern Maryland on line two. That's big. That's really, really big. Joe, indeed. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Love your show.
Appreciate you, bud.
I've been 51 years following this football team, and I can remember a day in early 90s when Mark Griffin threw five interceptions at RFK Stadium against the Chicago Bears. And the next year, he was MVP in the Super Bowl. So I'm with you, Danny. You're preaching to the choir. The boy, he's just, you know, he's a kid. He's got no supporting cast around him. And I think they're asking the impossible of him, to be honest. It's a hard thing for a kid just out of college. He's only had a limited amount of games, no preseason. We're basically playing our preseason right now. We haven't really had a chance to see what he's got, and he really does, like I say, he has no supporting cast around him.
But what do you say about Burrow? You know, what do you say about Herbert? Those guys as rookies when, never had the preseason.
It's what's expected now. You're expected to come up, grasp the system, and be off and running right off the bat. I think it's an important comparison, but who is Burrow? Has he got weapons to throw to? I think he does.
He does. He's got a worse offensive line than Haskins, probably.
And
but yeah,
our offensive line has been injured this year, and plus we lost Trent Williams. So yeah, that left tackle. I mean, I'm all about grabbing Trent Lawrence if he's there, but at the same time, there's so many other needs. If you need to see what we have, and you're never going to know unless you play the kid. You got to play it.
And that's why we're saying play him. Appreciate the call, buddy. Yeah, we're saying play him. You talk about needs. There was no bigger need on this team than quarterback this weekend. And that, if that's the case in a lot of weeks moving forward, then there's just no way around saying that moves to the front of the list. It's too important.
But Jeeps, we can have both conversations because you and I both come to the same conclusion as a lot of these callers, right, where we're going – patience, please. But also, we can be adults and say, here's also our evaluation at this time with the door.
Danny,
and the
I've
pathway.
Been doing it since last year.
Yeah,
I tried to
open,
do it with
right?
you all offseason. It is okay to say that they're not very good and he's not going to be very good. He has to be better. I'm not going, and this was the thing I kept screaming about all offseason. People were just going to give him the season and say, well, they're bad. Their offense ranked 31st or 32nd last year. It's not. No, you can still see that he misses throws or makes throws or is great or bad on moments where everything's there for him. There has to be an evaluation of him as well.
And we're doing that in real time. So we could say, hey, this game, this Cleveland Browns game that happened on Sunday was wretched. There are good moments, but we're not going to remember any of those because the bad was so bad, it overwhelms anything else. That's all on the table. I'm also saying in the next breath, please play him as long as he's healthy. I want to exercise patience. I want the biggest data set possible. I don't care what's going on in the division. I understand, though, by the way, that's not the philosophy of most guys that end up coaching in this league.
Well, and here's the other thing. Not that this matters at all, but if you move on from Haskins to try to go win the division at 8-8, I mean, in 5 years, we'll still be taking calls about how he got screwed and they should still have him as the starter.
I know.
We've played that game before. So part of me almost just wants to see this thing through more than anything else.
I know, right?
Ride this car until it crashes into the ground so that we don't have to deal with that for 4 years. Booger McFarland was on Monday Night Football the last couple of years. He's now a studio analyst for ESPN. He joins us next on Grant and Danny.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.